ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scarfo Show.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy Chris Scarfo coming at you with another episode of the Scarfo Show. Today's guest is AJ Roberts. He's an online high-performance coach, speaker, a veteran from the British Army. He also used to play soccer at a very high level. We touch on nutrition, fitness, mindset, and we also speak about his upcoming absolutely free program, 30-Day Shred. It actually starts tomorrow, Monday, February 18th. So if you're lucky enough to catch this on the day of the drop, sign up right now. We're going to go hard as fuck with him. 30 days. It's free. Why not? So join me in welcoming AJ. AJ, why don't you give us a little quick intro and tell the listeners where they can reach you.
Yeah. Good evening, guys. Well, it's good evening here in the UK. Thanks for having me on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm from England, from the south of England. And I'm a 15-year British Forces veteran and currently a high-performance coach. And I'm a husband and a loving father of two beautiful kids.
Awesome.
And that's me in a little nutshell, mate.
Very cool. Boy, girl, two boys, two girls?
No, I have a boy and a girl. My boy was 13 on Friday, just gone. And my little girl is 11 in May.
Awesome. I'm the father of a beautiful 4-year-old girl. It's great having kids, eh?
Our kids are awesome.
So why don't we dive right in and figure out what AJ was like as a little boy talking about kids.
Well, it's quite weird, actually, you say that, because when I look at my son now, it's just a carbon copy of what I was like when I was a kid. 13 years old, tight curly hair, so which is not really a comparison to what I have now, with pretty much none. I was just football crazy, and when I say football, I mean soccer.
Right on.
Obviously, here in England, we call it football, and it's like a religion, pretty much like hockey is in Canada.
Right on.
I pretty much spent all my days playing football when I was outside of school. It would literally be come in, throw my bag down, straight out. Homework would take a back seat. And it was just football until it got dark. And then it was in. And that's how much I pretty much focused my time and efforts on just playing football all the time. And just being generally fit.
Right on.
Fit and healthy.
Mostly just football? No other sports? Or were there other sports as well?
No, I kind of dabbled in rugby a little bit, but I didn't really like it too much. I was always involved with all the athletics at school and stuff like that, and sort of dabbled a bit in basketball, but it was always sort of football was my main sport. And I was always a good like, all-round sports person at school. I won the best sports boy of the year. I think it was like 4 years in a row.
Right on.
At my primary school, and I always captained my like football team, and I often captained like the athletics team and stuff like that as well. I always had like an older head on my shoulders, so a bit more mature than sort of most of the guys in my years. So I was often made sort of captain and that. And I think being the eldest of four boys kind of naturally gives you those leadership instincts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when I was always sort of taking care of him and stuff like that, because my stepdad was military as well, and he was always away in like Bosnia and Kosovo back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be just my mum just looking after us four boys, and that's how I was often sort of like having to act like almost act like dad. So it kind of definitely brought the mature side out in me as I was growing up.
Right on. And then you joined the army right after secondary school?
No, actually, obviously, I took my football to a very high level, and I was scouted by the club from my hometown in UK, in a place called Bournemouth. They are actually in the Premier League now.
Oh, right.
And at the time, they weren't. They were in like League Two, which is like two divisions down from the Premier League.
Yep.
And yeah, they came to watch me in a tournament I was playing in over in Denmark. It was like a huge, huge like summer tournament where there was teams from like all around the world invited. And yeah, they came to watch me, and then I got a letter in the post. This was before I had an email address, and they sent asked me if I'd like to come for a trial. So I went back for a week of trial, and then they offered me a position to go and play there on their youth training scheme, where you would like be in the academy, and then you but you had to go to college and like get a qualification or do it, you know, do a sort of a course. So I went to college and did a national diploma in sports science, as well as playing football, because they want to make sure you get educated as well, like in case something happens. And
right, right, yeah.
Unfortunately, I did get a bit of a freak injury where I clashed knees with another player at a training session, and I severed a nerve like across my left side of my left leg, and I couldn't feel like my leg properly, like the lower part of my leg, for a good like 2.5-3 months. And by that stage, the physios and the club doctors and that thought I wouldn't fully recover, so they released me, and that's the unfortunate side of, you know, football life, and that you can quite easily be struck off.
Yeah, any high
and
level,
you're left with nothing.
That's right. Yeah, any high level sporting event or sports, event. You know, you're all so competitive, and you're all in such good shape that as soon as you get injured, they need to replace that body on their team with another high level athlete, right? And I mean, they could sometimes keep you on the sideline for a few months, but once it starts getting a little bit longer, especially at that level, because they're always trying to put you from, let's say, Division II up. Like, you know, they can't really, unfortunately, they can't really wait on you. And then so after your recovery, did you go back to playing soccer at all, or did you take the recovery a little bit slower?
Yeah, no, I did eventually. And it's quite funny. I started getting better, but I knew that I could run and I could do all that, you know, a lot of basic stuff. And that's when, because with my stepdad being military, I kind of was thinking about going into the army, because I was just getting in and out of dead end jobs, really. And unfortunately, I got mixed in with the wrong crowd, and I was on a bit of a downer from not making it into football. So I started like drinking quite a lot, got involved with the wrong people, and I ended up in the dock at court, and from sort of like a number of low level crimes. And I basically had said in my testament that I was in the process of planning on joining the army, and the judge basically said, like, you need to join the army, because if you don't, you're going to go to prison. So at that point, it was pretty much a big wake-up call for me. I needed to sort my life out, and I signed on the dotted line to join the British Army, and it was one of the best things I've ever done.
Right on. I mean, if you stayed for 15 years, that's means you at least enjoyed your stay. You know, like they weren't ringing your arm for you to stay.
No, it's I'd had a bit of a mixed time in the army, because I actually came out of the army in 2013. I initially joined in 2001,
right?
Late 2001, and I come out in 2013 after a quite hard kinetic tour in Afghanistan, and where I was just on the ground constantly in the thick of it, and by that point I kind of sat back and thought, you know, I've achieved everything I want to achieve at the army. I've joined, I've been on tour, I've, you know, I've done some like real soldiering.
Yeah.
And at that point I was speaking to a guy online on Facebook, and he lived in Australia and had done for 18 years and had his own business, and he offered me a project manager job for his company out there on the Gold Coast in Australia. So after quite a lot of sort of contemplation with the missus and the kids and stuff like that, we were just like, yeah, this is too good of an opportunity to pass up. So we jumped ship, made the leap of faith, and went out to Australia. And it was everything was going fine out there for about a year, and then his company started having problems, and he couldn't pay me properly, and I knew something was wrong, and I could see it going kind of pear shaped. And just out of the blue, he was like, "I'm gonna have to sort of let you go." And then I was, we were kind of like stuck in Australia on a sponsored visa.
Right on, yeah.
Literally on the other side of the world with sort of very little immediate support network. So it becomes a bit quite scary, especially when you've been in the military all this time and you've always had that security and you've always got a roof over your head. And, you know, you're always being looked after. And suddenly be like, oh, shit, like, I need to try and sort something out as soon as possible. Like, I've got to support my family, you know. So that's when I started my own business, and I opened my own strength and conditioning gym on the Gold Coast, and it was great. And I was concurrently running a boot camp as well, which was really, really good, and had a lot of good members there. Half of them were actually English, but people that had POMs, as the Australians like to call us, who had emigrated over time and were living in the suburb. I was running the boot camp, and from there it sort of amalgamated into a gym through one of the boot campers being quite cashed up, and he loved the idea of what I was trying to achieve, and he offered to put an investment in. He put that in, and we got into a venue, but unfortunately he one day decided he was bipolar too, and basically done a runner from the investment with his family somewhere else in Australia. Totally left me high and dry.
that definitely sounds like you had a mixed bag in Australia. Ups and downs and ups and downs.
Yeah, it was definitely that. And that's by that point I couldn't afford the thousands and thousands of dollars to like transfer my visa over to like a business one. Because part of the investment was to actually cover those costs,
right?
Because
right.
I was the face of the business,
yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't work without me. And he'd done a runner, left us high and dry, and we had unfortunately had to return back to UK with just the bags on our back.
That's it. Yeah. No place to stay, really. I guess no job lined up.
Nothing. No. Luckily, we moved back and we lived with my mum and my stepdad, but we had to live in their pub in the UK, and a very busy pub as well. So, you know, a lot of people might think, oh, that sounds awesome. But the reality of it was just ridiculously noisy every night.
That's right.
It's not a great place to bring, you know, to bring your kids up. And so,
yeah, no, it sounds awesome. If you're a single male or a single female, maybe you have somewhere to go drink every night. That kind of sounds awesome. But if you're a family man with kids, it's kind of, like you said, it's not the ideal environment. But I'm gonna assume that gave you, you know, with your experience in the army, and those ups and downs, and being that you now were pushed against the wall to you know, provide for the family, that probably gave you a nice kick in the butt.
Yeah, it did. It was obviously a big motivation, because I've always been that person, you know, my family comes first. So I had the opportunity to rejoin the army, so I kind of grasped it with both hands, because I know the job inside out, and I know that at the time they were crying out for people to join. So it was a bit of a no-brainer, really, and I was re-enlisted quite quick. And it automatically got a roof over our heads, and it just kind of all happened quite quickly, which is nice, because it gave us the opportunity to get the kids into a school and into some solidarity and into some routine and that, which is what they needed.
Right. Yeah.
And we've lived in the same place ever since. Since that time I rejoined, I've subsequently had to leave again. After 2.5 years, and I've got diagnosed with what's called compartment syndrome in my shins and my shin muscles in my legs, and it's just a condition where it's quite common with soldiers, and it doesn't really matter what army you're in. You know, you'll find them in the US Army and in the Canadian Army and stuff like that, guys with similar problems where you can't run or march very quickly with boots on, carrying weight. So your outer shin muscles, rather than the sheath around your muscle expanding as the blood's going through, they just stay rock solid, and you get loads of referred pain into your feet, and that is quite nasty, really, once it kicks in.
Right.
And it's not something that's like it can be easily cured and that. So I was basically left in with a bit of an ultimatum that, unfortunately, I can't do promotion courses and stuff like that, but I could still stay in the army at the same rank, and I wasn't prepared to. So I said I wasn't prepared to sit around for 8 years doing the same thing.
Right, right.
So, but at that point, I kind of set up my own coaching business anyway, and I was running a rehabilitation sort of outfit within the regiment for all the guys that were injured. And obviously, because I've been coaching for about 16 years now, and in all different aspects, in strength and conditioning, boxing, mixed martial arts, football, coaching sort of like within the career, personal development, all that kind of stuff. So I thought it'd be stupid not to play to my strengths, mm-hmm. start my own coaching business, start small and just continuously learn and learn and learn and learn and learn, and surround myself with people that are far better at than me. And it's massively paid off.
Right on. That's right up my alley. Like, you know, I like to interview people that know a little or a lot more than me in certain fields, and the learning curve is fantastic. So yeah, you surround yourself with the right people. Since you had the experience with running a business in Australia and like a fitness gym, it really does sound like it was the right choice.
Yeah.
So right out of the army, did you mostly do, like you said, you were training people in the regiment. Did you have like a target audience type thing? Like, were you doing mostly veterans and that, or was it was very general right away?
It's always been very general. I've always made sure I've had quite a big network, through like social media and through people I've met over the years from traveling and, work colleagues and stuff like that. So like people always know me as like the coach, you know, the go-to guy for health and fitness and nutrition, and mindset and, you know, personal development and always wanting to better myself. But people have always known me as that guy. So there was people reached out to me initially who I knew. And then I just sort of spent a lot of time working on my marketing techniques, you know, getting a website built, getting out there, getting to personal development events, engaging with people like, especially on like LinkedIn and places like that. I find it's one of my favorite places to hang out because you get a lot of very good conversation on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's funny. Donnie Bovin, he's got a podcast called Success Champs, and he actually said a similar thing, that on LinkedIn is one of the places that is like the most underutilized, but that yields the best results. So I'm actually starting to really, really dial in on my LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, honestly, 100%. It's I've made some great connections on LinkedIn. It's so good. Like if you're not using it, like you're missing out. You really are.
Right on.
It doesn't really matter what sort of niche you come from or background or something like that. Like there's always somebody to create an opportunity with. So I put a post on LinkedIn about a month ago, and in fact, yeah, it was just after New Year. It was, and it was about a time when I helped a young boy when he was 8 years old, and I was in the army at the time. And he actually turned out he was on a TV show, and it was all to do with antisocial behaviour in sort of rural towns and stuff like that. And him and his mum, who's a single parent, and his brother, who's severely disabled, he's got his Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and his family were terrorized. And he was bullied and terrorized because he had a disabled brother. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
And I was so angry by this documentary. And the fact that this lad was just on my doorstep, really, he was like 12 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote an email to the BBC and I said, look, I watched the programme. It's annoyed me so much. I'm a British soldier. I seen that young Garin was really keen on military. You went to cadets and all this kind of stuff. And I'd love if you could pass my information on to his mum and say, look, I'm just down the road. I'd love to get you guys down here. Show to Garin around the tanks, get him even maybe having a go driving it and all that kind of stuff. And she ended up replying to me. So I went through the proper chain, like, to get in contact with her.
Right.
And I've kind of mentored Garin ever since. And he came to stay with mine after New Year's. And I just took a photo of me and him sharing a beer together. And I put this big sort of post on LinkedIn about how easy it is to reach out to people if you've got the resources and you see people are in trouble, or you're seeing people having a hard time and you've got the resources to help somebody. It really isn't hard. And that was a message I was trying to get across. And within a week, I think it was, my post had 1.7 million views.
Wow.
23,500 likes, just short of 1,500 comments. And off the back of that, I'm doing like a TV interview with Garin in a week's time.
Awesome, man.
British Forces Broadcasting Station, BFBS, want to do a small piece, like video piece on us. And ironically, the army are refusing him entry because he had mental health problems when he was 12 and 13.
Go ahead.
This is ridiculous because, like, that's when he was being terrorized, no?
Yeah, you know, and I mean,
like, at that age,
it's funny that no matter how much the army is like, let's say, starving for people to join, they always have the craziest reasons to refuse. And I mean, I know they generalize to avoid having to pay out. Like, I don't know if it's insurances. I don't know if it's to avoid improper behaviors. But they still have
all red tape.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is. It's just the red tape, mate. And it's because there's been incidents in the past,
exactly,
in the British Army where people have taken their lives and that.
That's it.
And it's becoming a bit of a real epidemic. I was going to go on to mention later on, but 18 months ago, my one of my best friends killed himself here where I was based. He hung himself, and it was, you wouldn't have even had an inkling he would have done it.
Yeah.
And since then, there's been two or three other guys that have taken their own lives, and it's becoming a massive epidemic. So any sort of note on medical records to do with mental health and stuff like that, they're kind of just pushing it to one side and staying clear.
Yeah.
But so hopefully this TV episode will, you know, show the, Garin's just a genuine guy who wants to do really well in the army, and you only have to speak to him. He's 20 years old, coming up 21. You don't have to speak to him. He talks like he's like in his 30s and he's traveled the world and ridiculously experienced. And it's all down to, you know, those horrendous life experiences he's had that he's harnessed and turned into something, you know, it's turned out really great.
Right. So after starting that business, and obviously, like, you know, I could tell right away with this, the story about Garin, that you have a very selfless, not routine, but a selfless idea, that you like to give back. Right. How did you take the leap? Let's say, what was the first thing you did in opening up your coaching business? Like, do you have a brick and mortar location, or do you do it strictly from home?
And that's all online. I do everything online.
Right on.
And the reason why I decided to do that is I'm in an hour and about opening the gym again, but I was like, the stress is going into it, and any gym owner will agree with me. The stress is going into it are crazy, and then, you know, you got your overheads to think about, and like leaving the army into with a mortgage and everything else like that. You know, you need to sort of provide from day one.
Yeah.
So plowing everything into a gym or getting a business loan or something like that, you know, to be able to bring in enough money to sustain mortgage payments and life costs and everything else that goes with it, is not something that, you know, falls into your lap overnight. So you need to, you need to box smart or stuff like that. So that's why I started the online coaching business, like when I was in the last year of my army, when I was already signed off in the army. That's when I was, like, literally day, because you get 12 months from when you sign to terminate the army to when you get out. So literally day one of me signing on that dotted line to leave, I was straight into building my business.
Right on. And so, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so I've got my own website and obviously almost social media platforms, and I'm always engaging a lot on all these platforms all the time, Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram.
So by the time those 12 months were up, you probably already had a decent sized following and probably felt pretty good, right?
Yeah, but it does take a lot of work. And anybody else who's done it will totally agree. It does take a lot of work, and it doesn't happen instantly. You've got to build on it, build that network, build those client bases up, and you've got to, you know, really engage with people, engage with the public, and get your name out there. You can't just, you know, suddenly decide, oh, I'm going to be an online coach, and then put a post on Facebook saying, hi, I'm AJ, buy my shit. Like, no one's going to buy.
Yeah. And I wanted to get into that. What kind of, like, obviously with your army background, you got a great, like, I guess, boot camp experience. But what studying did you do? Like, do you have certificates in nutrition and stuff like that? I mean, you also said earlier you did a degree in sports.
I did a course in sports science many years ago.
That's right.
I've always been that way inclined with fitness and stuff like that. So. But over the years, I've got, like, my, you know, the usual PT qualifications, got, like, sort of fairly high level qualifications in nutrition, loads of different individual specific coaching qualifications like football and boxing, mixed martial arts, because I was quite a competitive boxer and mixed martial arts artist during my time in the army.
Right on.
And obviously the experience that you've molded around those qualifications, you know, you should never just leave it at what you learn on a course ever.
No, exactly. I mean, I've done a couple of PT courses. I've done a couple of biomechanics, nutrition courses. Mm. I've even done, like, trades. So general building maintenance, but essentially any course that you're learning in class, in, like, a classroom setting, they're only giving you the first layer, you know, they're giving you the general guidelines, the broad strokes, but everything else happens, or comes with experience rather.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, people don't realize that sometimes, you know, you can get kind of caught out.
Yeah. It's just, at the end of the day, it's just a piece of paper, right? Like, it just means that you're taking the first step to learning, something that is, it's not something that can be taught in, like, a weekend course, you know. But you can definitely learn the broad strokes and then put it into practice. Obviously, my method is to put it into practice on myself. I have a twin brother, so I'm able to put it into practice on him as well. See right off the bat, like, people with really similar DNA will still not get the same results. And then, you know, kind of individualize it for every case by case.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it's a piece of paper doesn't mean everything. I've met people over the years in a number of disciplines that have certain qualifications, but then they really lack in how they deliver a lesson or how they actually coach the actual sessions, because they don't actually have the confidence in speaking in front of people.
Yeah, so right.
It doesn't always go the way you want.
Yeah. And so, what are some of the things that you offer, obviously you do meal plans, I guess you do workout programs. You said you did, dealt with mindset. You want to kind of, we'll start with nutrition. What's your nutrition like right now? Take you as an example.
Well, I like to, I don't eat under my calories because I do quite a fair bit of weight training and and cardio, and I like to keep an aesthetic sort of look, I think, not from an egotistical point of view, but more to do with it's good achievement to know that you're looking after your body well. And if I'm going to practice what I preach, like, people need to and be taken seriously, I kind of need to have that and portray that kind of image. That,
yeah, I mean, there's no better business card than your body, right? In the fitness world, anyways.
Yeah, and especially like, and you know, I still have a military look about me as well. So yeah, it is important, definitely.
So you're always, let's say, above your basal metabolic rate in calories, do you do, like, do you prescribe to, like, high carb, low carb, high fat, low fat? Do you have any?
I say very high protein.
Yeah. Yep.
It's something that I teach people who are looking to build lean muscle mass, and it's quite common knowledge that you need to be looking at about 2 grams of protein for every kilo of body weight, or a pound of for every pound of body weight you want to be in. Is it ounces?
No, pounds. No, I also know the two grams per kilo. That's the way I learned it. But we do it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it in pounds, you would do, I think, half a gram for every pound. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. 2 grams for every pound of body weight, because it's about 2 times more.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I sort of teach people often.
And then carbs and fat.
And with the sort of carbs, I tend to go for 40% protein, 30% carbs, and 30% fats.
Right on.
That's a good, very good balance for me. Works well. And I probably eat like four or five meals a day, but they're not huge meals.
Right on.
So I tend to get about, I'd say about 3,000 calories into me.
Mm-hmm.
And loads and loads of water. I usually start my day, I always get up quite early, and so I like to get a lot of stuff done in the mornings. And I start my day with drinking like a lemon and ginger tea.
Awesome, yeah.
I find it's like, it's one thing I'm trying to concentrate on at the minute, is that I'm actually improving my gut health.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of celiac disease and sort of previous stomach diseases within my family. So I think just where the naivety and lack of knowledge really over the years of people within the family have kind of caused self-inflicted stomach problems. It's just something I'm quite conscious of, is to keep on top of my gut health.
Yeah. You ever mess with fasting?
With fasting?
Yeah.
No, it's not something I've really looked into. It's something I might try.
Yeah, so I just got off. Well, it's been 3 weeks now. I've been over it as more than I was into it. But I did a 21-day water fast, and now the idea behind any prolonged fasting above 24 hours, because you could do like intermittent fasting, which is like you do 16 hours fast and 8 hours of a feed window. But generally, anything after 12 hours, you're gonna start what's called autophagy. So your body is essentially using its incessant cells, so cells that are no longer reproducing, as fuel. Okay. And after 24 hours or so, depending on body type and depending on hormones and stuff, you essentially go into ketosis. So you become fat adapted and you start burning. Not only your dead cells, but then you start burning fat for fuel. But the reason why I suggest fasting, I did 21 days, but essentially after 72 hours, most of the autophagy benefits, you've gotten like 90% of the benefits. And after 72 hours, it's pretty much just for more fat loss. Like I said, after 3 days or so, your gut microbiome, reboosting your immune system. Like I said, after 3 days or so, you've done pretty much, most of that. But yes, I did it kind of like as an experiment on my body, on my mind, and to see how far I could go. But like anything in the 72-hour range, you'll do a really good boost to your gut health, because essentially all of your, not all, but most of your gut bacteria, the good and the bad, has been flushed out, you know? So it's maybe something like it's, if you want to read up on it, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, her website, I think, is I Found My Health, or that's her on Instagram, I think. But if you just search Rhonda Patrick, she talks about doing a 3-day fast once every quarter, so every 3 months or so. And there's studies that have shown up to 33% extended life in bacteria, in fruit flies, and I think in mice. For anti-aging, for mental, not mental health, but like, what's it called? dementia and like degenerative mental diseases. There's one that's right at the tip of my tongue. Alzheimer's is the one I'm thinking of, but there's benefits for Alzheimer's, for dementia, for like I said, all kinds of neurological, degenerative issues. But because of fasting, like anything that you're restricting calories, your body kind of gets into like a reboot mode where, you know, they don't know why you're not, the body doesn't know why you're not eating, right? It can't just go into your head and say, oh, he's not eating because of an experiment. You know, like it could think you're like, you know, like when we were cavemen, when we weren't eating, the body didn't have time to think, why aren't they eating? They just need to know it needs to adapt, right?
Yeah.
So, but for gut health, fasting is one of the things that, like more and more studies are coming. In 2015, the gentleman that won the Nobel Science Prize, he worked on fasting. So like what starts autophagy and that sort of thing. And it's essentially caloric restriction. So do tons and tons of research. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a professional, but in my experience, it really helped my gut, and like my digestion got better, my sleep got better, my energy levels got better. Like tons of things I noticed anecdotally really, really got better. So.
That's superb. Yeah. I mean, I'm always looking into different things. Nutrition is only like a part of what I offer anyway.
That's right.
It all comes part and parcel with everything. So the pillars that I build my fitness around, like my four pillars, are fitness, nutrition, motivation, and your mindset. And we touch on all four of those things during any like consultation or any custom plan that I make for people.
Right on. So we touched on nutrition a bit. What about for fitness? What's your go-to strategy?
Well, are you talking about for me or for
the Oh, yeah, for you, because I know like everyone's different, right? So like I would need a specific example, like if you had someone who's 30 years old and weighed this much and that, but for you specifically. Like what works good for you? Yeah.
Well, for me, I've started to mix it up a lot more now, just because just for a bit of variety, and because usually I was very much training in the gym, doing a lot of like weight training.
Yep.
And sort of like varied cardio. Always there wasn't. I don't really have a set routine because I've been doing and training for such a long time. I like to keep my muscles guessing, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
I haven't been going into the gym like doing chest on Monday, or international chest day as I call it, because everyone who trains always does chest on a Monday.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
If you go to the gym on a Monday night, you see everyone fighting for the bench press.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one training legs.
Ever.
Yeah, it's quite amusing. So I kind of mix it up. I'll do like a push and pull session. I might do legs and shoulders the next day. And I'll then do like just cardio and abs. And then I've started doing some box exercise classes once a week just to getting that high intensity kind of training.
Yep.
Where I've actually just been going to the classes because I'm quite a big believer in, you know, like you could be the best coach in the world, but it's always good to be coached yourself.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the best the best teachers are the best learners. You know, I'm a big, big believer in that. So it's nice to actually be coached sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've started to go just to a box of size once a week, which I really enjoy, and to keep myself fit, and going out for like walks and running around with the kids and that a weekend, you know, just like doing like an active sort of leisurely type thing at the weekends.
Right on, right on. And then for motivation, what keeps AJ motivated?
I listen to lots and lots of podcasts.
Right on.
Like pretty much every day when I'm in the car, as soon as I'm in the car, I've got a podcast on. I rarely listen to much music because I'm always trying to consume as much content as possible.
Yeah.
And I want to take my coaching business, you know, to the next level all the time, and at the same time deliver a bigger and better service all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, for me, is the big deal.
What are your go-to podcasts?
Apart from yours?
Yeah, that's, love it.
Apart from yours and mine?
Yeah,
No ones, they're not worthy.
I'm going to have you on every week.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ryan Nidell. I don't know if you've heard of him.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Nidell, Ryan Nidell. Mm-hmm. He releases a podcast every day.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
I don't think he doesn't record every day, but he'll record three or four in a day in advance. But he releases one every single day, and he's quite a well-educated guy. He's got a bit of a troubled past and stuff like that, and he shares it all with everybody.
Okay,
he's a top guy, and I've actually collaborated him a little bit on Instagram and stuff about certain, how to deliver certain shows and stuff like that. So he's a good guy. And I used to listen to a lot of Lewis Howes stuff, but I'm not going to lie, not his content or anything, but the amount of ads that he has now at the start of the shows is just, for me, a bit ridiculous now.
Yeah.
It takes a good 5 minutes to get into the show.
Right, right. Yeah. Joe Rogan too is one of my go-tos, or generally, but like if I'm in the car and like one of them starts and I can't like really fast forward because I don't want to have my phone in my hands right while driving. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh shit. So I'll skip to like the next one that has like maybe just one advertisement or whatever. But like, yeah, Rogan always has a solid 5 minute of ads. And I mean, most of the shit that he's advertising is cool stuff. As of late, he's got like the Cash App. He's got like some kind of mushroom coffee from Four Sigmatic or whatever. So it's all like stuff that sounds kind of cool that I probably would buy, but I don't want to, you know, I just skip basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to listen to Amanda Bucci as well. She was, I always liked her stuff, but again, it was, there's just loads of ads just kind of took over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so besides podcasts, obviously the family must motivate you. I mean, for me, as soon as I found out my wife was pregnant, so going on 5 years now, I got signed up to a Spartan race. I don't know if you guys got Spartan races over in the UK.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, you got to have, so obstacle course racing. So I got in, I got signed up for a Spartan race, and 2 weeks later was Tough Mudder. So I signed up for those, and it was well in advance. She got pregnant like in March, I believe, and like the races were only in June and then July. So I still had like 4 or 5 months to get ready for them. But yeah, it super motivated me to put shit back into shape, right? And then having the kid, for the first little bit, I was able to somehow juggle work and training and the baby. And then for the last like 2 years or so, it's been mostly work and family, and like training kind of took the sidelines. But slowly but surely, I'm getting back into that, because like we mentioned earlier, the best business card, if you want to work at all in the health and fitness industry, or if you want to at least for me anyways, it's more like a human optimization. Well, you gotta optimize your nutrition, you gotta optimize your training. So it's become what's it called? It's become one of my my focuses. So it's getting back there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool.
And so motivation is there. And what about mindset? Mindset is the one thing that really intrigues me the most. What do you use as tricks to hack your mindset, let's say? Because there's some days where, you know, you wake up and you don't want to go, you don't want to move, you don't want to put into your business, you know, you don't want to necessarily do all that marketing. But how do you do it when you don't feel like it, basically?
I think it's just like the old cliche, you know, you need to take a step back and ask why you started it in the first place.
Right on.
And then if you got clear set goals that you want to achieve, as in long-term goals, like I want to make my coaching business as successful as I possibly can.
Yep.
And be an awesome role model to my kids as a result of it. And then, you know, they're already showing signs of getting into similar things themselves. And I want to help over 1 million people. That's how much impact I want to have.
That's amazing. You're the second person. One of them is my buddy Antoine. He's from Quebec as well. He's got a thing going on now where he's trying to get 1 million people to write a book in 90 days. So obviously not like in the same 90 day, but he wants to start this 90 day program with 1 million people. And I love that. Uh-huh. For me, definitely my desire is to be able to help 1 million people, you know, own their life basically, you know. But it's funny that you're the second person to say my goal is to impact 1 million people's lives. So never two without three. You've just created my goal.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I like to adopt the whole mentality that Grant Cardone preaches about 10x and everything. I think it's superb.
Yep.
And I 10x most stuff I do, you know. I don't want to just have 100 coaching or 10 coaching clients. I want to have 100.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Because even if you don't make 100, if you make 50, it's still a far significant result than 10.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. 10x everything is definitely a good motto.
If you have that mentality, you can definitely go a long way with it. And it's helped me. And it's another reason why, like I mentioned before, I've engaged my own business coach that helps me with all my marketing and strategies and not so much the mindset stuff, but it's all about how to just he calls it hashtag BSU, blow shit up.
Right.
To like really blow your business, really blow your business up. But I mean, he's got the credentials. He speaks for himself. He's a multimillionaire living in the Gold Coast in Australia, and he's been absolutely fantastic for me.
Yeah. And
it helps me provide a much bigger and better and more impactful service for
as well
any of my clients I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, whenever you're investing in yourself, you're always investing in your clients too, because they're definitely going to get out of it at least the same amount as you get out of it, if not more, because it always remotivates you. Or for me anyways, it always remotivates me when I learn something new. I just want to share it with everyone. You know, when something like I have an aha moment, I want to share that with as many people as possible.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. And
go ahead.
I think you can plateau very easily if you don't stay with the times and stay with the trends.
Yeah.
You can plateau really easily, or you can run out of content that you need to get your clients from sort of A to B. I've seen it before where coaches like throw out everything they have at a client in their first like two sessions, and then they're kind of stuck.
Yeah. And if you're not growing or evolving or moving forward, you're either moving backwards or you're already dead, right? So you always want to be moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, exactly.
And what's your newest thing you were talking about before? You're doing a 30 days what was it called?
It's just called a 30-day shred. So it's a worldwide 30-day shred. It's online. Literally anybody in the world can do it. It starts on Monday, the 18th of February. For 30 days, it's absolutely free. And during the 30 days, I'll be posting daily workouts. I actually got my wife involved with this, which is great. Great little platform from her because she's big into her nutrition.
Awesome.
And she's trying to get build up her profile as, you know, a go-to lady with nutrition stuff. And so she's going to be posting loads of recipes that are very, very, like, it's basically to show people, like, how it's affordable. It's just from, you know, normal, everyday people that are fit and healthy and know the stuff, know how to deliver, and, like, the meals are kid-friendly, like, all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot more relative to people.
Yeah.
You know, and me and the wife aren't portraying that we're, like, a pair of, like, shredded machines that, you know, only show you the photos of them on cover models as cover models and stuff. They don't show you the authentic version of them, which is what we're doing from day one, because people can relate to us.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, when you say you talk about affordable nutrition, when I came off of my 21-day fast, I was really, really gung-ho on only eating local, organic, grass-fed beef when it was available. Like organic meats, fruits, veggies. And it's funny, when you eat organic, you're more inclined to like just buy what you're going to eat. You know what I mean? Like, so instead of buying a bundle of like 12 bananas for the week, you say, well, there's only 7 days this week. So you buy 7 bananas, let's say. And so, okay, so they're more expensive, let's say, per banana. But instead of buying 12, you only buy the 7. So it ends up costing you the same, and A, there's less waste, or B, you're not overeating, because, like, if you have the 12, you're going to eat the 12, but if you only have 7, you're only going to eat 7, you know what I mean? So, like, I found really quick that financially, it was pretty much, you're spending the same amount of dollars, and you're only going to buy what you're going to consume. So, like, you're saving money, you're saving excess calories, and it's obviously better for you. So, I mean, the big misconception is that eating organic or eating local is more expensive, but it's only when you compare your current lifestyle. So when you're overeating, or you're going to Costco, or you're going to, like, big box stores, and they sell in, like, huge quantities of fruits, of vegetables, of anything really, like even meat, you buy like a family pack. And, like, for us, we're only, it's me, my wife, and our daughter, right? So we don't need to buy the pack for 4 or 6. We can buy, like, a smaller pack, you know, of meat or whatever. And it's, so you kind of, or I kind of realized right away that it's not necessarily more expensive. It's the same dollar amount. And okay, so you won't have maybe leftovers, or you won't have the extra amounts, but you don't need that. So it's actually super affordable in the end.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And it's we teach a lot to do with meal planning as well. So we often make like our lunches for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on a Sunday night.
Right on.
And with the, you know, the breakdown of macros that we want, but we do it in just in like a steamer. So we put the steamer on, rack it up with all the veg, might put some sweet potato in there, all that kind of stuff, so you're getting all your carbs in, and then you just sort of like divide it out between all the your little Tupperware boxes and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And put them in the fridge, good to go. And it doesn't take long at all.
No, it's, yeah. I mean, I always say it, I'm a big fan of Meal Prep Sunday. I always say that, you know, if you're going to be making supper, let's say, for Sunday, well, just instead of putting one portion in the oven, you put your 5 portions in the oven. So the time it takes to cook is exactly the same. Sure, you're spending a little bit more time preparing it, because depending on seasonings and whatever, but like my veggies and stuff, I just put them all in my steamer as well. And then, you know, there's no prep. You take the veggies, you cut them up, put them straight in the steamer, and they all get steamed for the next 3 or 4 days, whatever. It's super time efficient. It's super easy. But yeah, definitely meal prep is one thing that, and also for me personally, I do the meal prep because I know if I don't prep my meals for the week, there's going to be one of those days where I'm not going to want to wake up early and make it, or I'm not going to have made it the night before. And then I'm going to have, you know, the easy choice of, okay, so what fast food restaurant is around where I work? You know what I mean? So you make the wrong choices if you have to make a choice, you know? Whereas if your food's already prepared, well, you don't have to choose. You just take that Tupperware, put it in your lunchbox, and you go to work and you eat healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, and it's something we've been doing for quite some time, and it does pay off. And it's something I'm going to be teaching everybody in the 30-day shred from day one, is how to get stuck in and prep meals for yourself, your family, how to get the better nutrition into your kids. And it's just getting the message across that your kids won't necessarily always do what you say, but they will do what you do.
Right on, yeah.
So if you're portraying a much healthier lifestyle, you're exercising more, you're eating better, stuff like that, it really rubs off on your kids, and it's great for them to see. And they really look up to you and say, like, understand what and the importance of having a healthy lifestyle is all about.
Yeah, yeah. And our daughter, we got kind of lucky, I'd say, we got super lucky in all aspects in general, but for food specifically, the first food that she was in love with or infatuated with was broccoli. They give you kind of like her palate, right? So she loves broccoli. She loves sweet potatoes. She loves beans, surprisingly. And my wife hates beans. Like if I make like a chili or whatever, I gotta like separate her let's say like meat and sauce portion or whatever before adding the beans, because if I put beans on her plate, she'll gag. But my daughter loves beans. She loves all these foods that, let's say, kids don't generally enjoy. And like every time I'll reintroduce something, the other day was cauliflower. I made her some whole grain pasta with some chicken, and I threw some broccoli and cauliflower in it. And then so she saw the cauliflower and she's like, I don't like cauliflower, Dad. And I'm like, has Dad ever given you anything that really tasted horrible? And she kind of thought about it for a second, and she's like, no. I'm like, so why don't you just take a quick bite of that cauliflower and tell me? So she took the cauliflower, she like kind of hesitated, she licked it, and then she put it in her mouth, she chewed, her eyes lit up, and she goes, Dad, I love cauliflower. And I'm like, yeah, win for Dad. But so like she's super, super easy when it comes to like, let's say, healthier foods. But obviously if you have to make it what's available, right? Like if you give a kid the choice between a candy bar or some vegetables or whatever, chances are they're going to go for the candy bar, right? It tastes better. It's more fun. But if you're only offering up, like, let's say two or three choices of veggies, well, they have no choice but to eat a veggie, right? So, like you said, if you're making the right choices and only giving them those right choices, they'll also make the right choice, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's just having that consistency as well, which is why it's great to do work with a big, large number of people over 30 days, because the more people that do the 30-day shred, the more people there are to have an input and suggest ideas and share different recipes and all that kind of stuff. So you're continually learning from it every day.
Yeah.
And that, my main aim for the 30 days is for as many people to walk away as possible going into or carrying on with their training, being far more educated and knowledgeable in like all round health, fitness and nutrition, and have a better mindset and just a whole new motivation towards a healthier life.
Right on. So, Yeah, I had recorded a podcast on Monday that I was planning to release on Sunday. However, being that one didn't have anything time sensitive in it, and being that 30-day shred starts on Monday, I'm gonna release this show on Sunday the 17th, and hopefully hopefully get a couple of listeners to jump on.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I'll send you the link as well if you like.
Yeah, and then absolutely
post it in your show notes. But I mean, all people simply need to do is on Facebook is just type in 30 day shred and they'll probably see it come up straight away.
Awesome, AJ. Anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
I'm a big believer in, like we've talked about this before, in not being the smartest person in the room. And it's a sort of quote that's often said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in that. And I'm not saying that everyone should adopt it, but if you adopt that kind of mentality, you're always going to continue learning all the time. I mentioned it in one of my podcasts a few weeks ago about comfort zones. We're not put here on this planet to sit on a beach and just drink martinis. We're put here to grow. So you need to spend each day not trying to be perfect, because no one's perfect. You just need to try and be better. And the way you do that is by constant, consistent growth, is by just every day getting better at everything you do, like day by day, small little steps, whether that be in your health, your fitness, your work, you know, your career, your family life. You know, if you know yourself where your weaknesses are, you know what your strengths are. So working on those weaknesses sort of day in, day out, bit by bit, chipping away at them, you can't go wrong. And then just one of the best things you can ever do is reach out to people who are in the know, who are subject matter experts in what they do, and surround yourself with people like that. You know, if you've got negative people in your life, just, you know, cut them out. They only drag you down and they just make your life worse. I know so many people, like people I went to school with, who have left school and ended up really doing nothing with their lives. And the majority is, like, straight away, I can see it's that there's just another product of their own environment.
Right, yeah.
And that's what we are. We're a product of our environment. So, you know, a lot of these guys have ended up just living on council houses, estates, surrounded by just pure negativity, and nobody wants to get out and better themselves. So, you know, if you're surrounded by those type of people day in, day out, you just become one of them. So get out there, reach out to people. You know, come and speak to people like myself. You can find me on Instagram and on Facebook. I'm at AJ Roberts Coaching, all one word. Just reach out for me. Come and see what we do. Come and see what. Come and speak to the guys that I work with. It's great because there's nothing but positive vibes all the time in my arena.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about is like you said, staying positive and always look to progress daily.
Yeah, exactly.
So I really, really appreciate you being on, AJ. Thank you for your time. Thank you to everyone who's listening to this podcast. You guys are the reasons why I'm doing this. Obviously, selfishly, I have these awesome guests on so I could learn a lot. But if I'm able to learn a lot, hopefully the people listening can also learn. Go out and listen to AJ's podcast, The Best Version of You. Is that available everywhere, AJ?
Yeah, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's on Google Play, all the platforms really. Yeah, it's called The Best Version of You.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm only four episodes in. One of them I've done was an amazing interview with a good friend of mine who got injured in Afghanistan, but is now a power lifter for Team GB and is fighting for a place to go to the next Olympics. So
Oh, wow. It's
all good motivating stuff. I think you'll find the links to the video as well, because I did a proper video interview for it.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Join AJ on his 30-day shred. You'll find the links in the show notes for that as well.
It's absolutely free. Absolutely free for everybody.
Yeah, so there's no fucking excuses for not doing it.
Yeah.
Awesome, AJ. We'll be in touch. Thank you very much again for being on. As always, everyone, much love. Be good. And peace, everybody. That's another episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that show as much as I did. Once again, that was AJ Roberts from AJ Roberts Coaching, a gentleman from the UK. was great to catch up. Awesome knowledge that he dropped on us. Go ahead and join his 30-day shred. There's going to be a link in the show notes. Join it with me and let's go hard as fuck, people. Also, next week I've got Donnie Bovin from Texas coming on. He's got his own podcast called Success Champs. That one was an awesome episode to record. He really, really dropped some knowledge on fellow entrepreneurs, fellow podcasters, and if you guys want to know how to do it right, catch that show next week. You'll hear all about it on social media this week. Once again, everybody, thank you for listening. I love you. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Scarfo Show.